Hey everyone! It's been said that every quilt tells a story, and it's so true. But I also believe every quilter has a story to tell. I wanted to hear about the people behind these wonderful quilts and thought you'd enjoy hearing about their lives also. Welcome to A Quilter's Life! Have you ever worked with someone for a short period of time and years later wonder whatever happened to them? That's what happened to me with Sally Norton. When we first opened our computer business, I had the opportunity to work with Sally. Then our lives moved on. It was exciting to meet her again at a quilt group. How wonderful to cross paths again and realize we share the love of quilting. I'm so thankful she took the time to share her quilts and her story with me.
Thank you, Sally. I am so excited to be talking with you today.
Well, I'm excited to be talking to you, too.
So let's start off with your background. So where were you born and raised?
Well, I was born in Oregon, Ohio, which is a suburb of Toledo, so up in northwest Ohio. And I moved to Marietta in 1981. Because of the last time that the auto industry went belly up, and there were no jobs in Toledo. I was a teacher, and I always thought it was sort of ironic that I moved to Appalachia to find a job. But I loved living in Marietta. I lived in Marietta for 37 years, and that's home. That's where I tell people I'm from.
Yeah. You know.
And I'm living in Olive Branch, Mississippi right now, which I keep telling people that Mississippi and West Virginia, which of course Marietta is near,
right,
are very much alike, except West Virginia is a lot prettier. Have all those mountains and all that, all those trees and, you know. So, but I do like it here in Mississippi. I mainly moved to my grandchildren, so.
Okay. I wondered what sent you away.
Yeah. That it was the grandkids. And I sort of felt like I was getting a little bit closer to my other two kids' families. But one's in San Diego and one's in Washington State, so it wasn't much closer. Hardly at all.
No. So you have three children?
Yes. My oldest lives here. She has two kids. And my middle child lives in Washington State, except that they move around a lot. She married a man who builds oil tanks.
Okay.
And her daughter, her oldest daughter, 21, is living there in Parkersburg. So her mother's living in Washington State with her new baby. And my son, my youngest, lives in San Diego. He and his wife are both in the Navy, and they have three kids. I got lots of places to visit.
Nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
You were a teacher. What did you teach?
I was the district librarian and technology coordinator. As you know, I bought them their first Apple IIe.
Yay!
From these really nice people. And lots of, you know, lots of years of building up the technology. And after 30 years, I just knew it was time. It was time to leave. I got tired of teaching teachers things they didn't want to learn. But I missed the kids. That was fun. And that I missed that here in Mississippi, because anywhere in Marietta I'd go, after 30 years of being the district librarian, all these people knew me. I might not remember them, but, you know, they... they all knew me. And, weren't you the librarian? Yes, I was. But it's fun.
Yeah. So are there other crafts that you do besides quilting?
Yeah, I cross-stitch. I guess that's sort of all I do now. I have in the past done some scrapbooking. That's a whole other expensive hobby that, you know, probably. I do scrapbooking electronically now. I have a scrapbook program, and I've created, I call it my journal of my quilt journey. And it's amazing. I've always tried to take pictures of my quilts, and I've pulled them all together into this journal. And it's been fun to work on that. I do upholstery, although every time I upholster something, I always say, I will never do that again. My grandma is who got me started on all of this. She used to make all my clothes. And, you know, I used to make my kids' clothes, too. But I've never really done that for my grandkids because it's more expensive to make some clothes. And they live so far away, it's, you know, sort of hard to make things that you can't try on.
But they can wrap up in a quilt.
Yes, they can. My granddaughter who lives here, one day we were out, I helped teach her to drive this summer. One day while we were driving, she was listing off all the quilts I've given her. And I said, well, should I stop making quilts for you? No, that's okay. You can make me some more if you want to. But I was saying my grandma is who got me started, and she did lots of sort of utilitarian things like making curtains and clothes and upholstery and all of those kinds of things. She was always around. I remember her making crocheting a rag rug, and it was so huge that she had to sit on the floor and move around the rug to finish it. But sometime in the 70s, it must have been the late 60s, she started quilting. And she made most of us each a quilt. And that was sort of the first time I saw quilting done just for the love of doing it. You know, she just was making something pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And that practical side that probably came out of the Depression, couldn't let her make a quilt just to make a quilt or just to hang it on the wall. It always had to be for somebody.
Yeah.
But we all benefited from that. I have a beautiful cathedral window quilt that she made me that hangs in my bedroom. So that's my memories of her.
Neat. Now, when did you start quilting?
Well, I started in the 70s. I have a picture of me and my sister in some patchwork dresses. Mine was an empire waist, and all I did was I sewed patches of fabric together, and then I cut the pattern out of that fabric I had created. And I made one quilt for myself, and then I got married and busy, went to college, moved to Marietta, and I really didn't do any quilting again until, Sylvia was born in 98, so that's the next thing I really remember is making my first grandchild a quilt. And her mother, because the two of them were living with me, so I made a matching quilts for them, you know, before Sylvia was born. So, and I've been doing it pretty steadily since then.
It was great to run into you when I was checking out the quilt group at O'Neill Center.
Oh, yeah. the O'Neill Center, I started going there when I retired because I figured I needed something to keep me busy. Mm-hmm. But I was already in the Scenic Rivers Boat Guild that meets in Marietta in the evenings. And the group at the O'Neill Center, we did a lot of charity quilts. Don't know if I told you, I'm going to be in Marietta the week after next.
Oh, cool.
So going to be there a couple days, and then my Marietta quilting friends and I are going to retreat in Jackson Mills.
Nice.
North Virginia. So looking forward to that.
So you're, in a way, still part of the guild that's here?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm still. I just finished the mystery Black of the Month that they did last year. And so I still participate some. And I'm coming before the retreat, a few days before the retreat, so that I can go to the guild meeting in March.
Neat.
But, you know, I have some close friends that we have a texting group that we share our projects and our grandchildren and all of that. So, yeah, I'm also in three guilds here in the Memphis area.
Wow.
The hardest part of that is remembering which guild is doing what. And I keep a list on my phone so that, you know, oh, yeah, that person is in Uncommon Threads. But there's one guild that meets in the evening, Uncommon Threads. And then I joined the Modern Quilt Guild, which is a whole new thing. And I'm really excited about being in the Modern Quilt Guild. It's part of the National Modern Quilt Guild group. And the end of February, a few of us went to Austin, Texas for their international show. That was really exciting. I took a class in sashiko from Japanese master in sashiko. Mm-hmm. He was a really good teacher. And I'd fallen in love with that form of embroidery several years ago. And got the opportunity to go to Japan when my son was stationed there and bought all kinds of stuff and brought it home. So I've been doing it a little while, but taking that class from, I can't say his name, he told us to call him Azu. So I took this class from Azu, and it was amazing. I learned so much from him, so much of the history and everything. It was a really good class. And the show was amazing. It always is. I'm sure you've been to the Dairy Barn.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't? You have to go.
Where is that?
That's in Athens. It's at a place called the Dairy Barn. And that's not actually the name of the show. It's an international show, art quilt show, that travels. I had been going to the Dairy Barn show. It's every other year. And I've been doing that for many years. And I love all of those quilts. And, I mean, it's like an example of what I would love to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
But modern quilting is not necessarily art quilting.
Okay.
There's overlap, but they're not the same thing. A lot of people think that modern quilting is art quilting, and it's not necessarily. Fiber artists will use lots of different kinds of fiber and even other things like metal and plastic and so on in their quilts to tell their story.
Yeah.
There's a woman here in Memphis, Paula Kervork, who is an amazing artist, and she's just all kinds of beautiful, beautiful thread art and quilts. And she also does a lot of social justice quilts with very obvious messages, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and those are the kinds of things that I love to look at, and someday maybe I'll do some of those. Mine tend to be more modern traditionalist quilts.
Okay.
You know, a little combination of traditional and the bright colors and non-layouts, you know, non-traditional layouts and things like that.
Hmm.
But I do a lot of traditional things too. Just
yeah.
Because that's what I'm familiar with. That's what's comfortable.
So that's what you tend to like. Do you have a favorite quilt that you've made?
Yes. And I sent you a picture of it. It's from a pattern called Fireworks. It's a paper piece. And it was in a show, so the picture shows it hanging in a show. It's all paper pieced. There were 100 blocks with 19 pieces in every single block.
Wow.
And all of the blocks are the same, but the way you lay them out and the way you put the colors together, it just turned out amazing. And I actually made two of them. The one that I sent you the picture of is my daughter in Washington has that one. And the other one, my daughter here in Memphis has on her bed.
Wow.
So, but I like lots of things that I've done. I've made lots of t-shirt quilts. Those are fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of memories. But I don't like to just do a t-shirt quilt with sashing and rows. And, you know, I like to do lots of different things with the t-shirts. Put them together in different ways. But I do a lot of paper piecing. And sometimes I turn a regular pattern, a piecing pattern, into a paper piecing pattern because I like the way it turns out better with the points. And, you know, if you're sewing on the lines on the paper, the points match up a lot better. Usually. I know, I guess you could say that's my favorite quilting tool is the paper piecing.
Oh, okay. That's what I was going to ask next.
Yeah. Make a lot of copies on my printer. I mean, that's the only way I do half square triangles now is by using paper piecing. I don't like the way they turn out when you have to trim. I mean, you have to trim them when you're paper mm-hmm. piecing, but you have something to cut on, and the paper helps hold it and keep the bias edges from stretching.
Okay.
You know, so they turn out a lot better, I think.
Yeah. What's your favorite part of the process?
Oh, designing and cutting and piecing. I almost never quilt anything. And when I do, it's small, you know, small items,
mm-hmm.
like placemats or a wall hanging.
Do you free motion quilt that?
No. No,
okay.
I have never gotten the hang of free motion quilting. I keep wondering if I got a different machine, maybe that would do it. And then I talked myself out of spending all that money.
It's a lot. And I talk to long armors, they're like, yeah, that's why I'm in business, because I have to pay for the machine.
Yeah, most people do. I had some great people doing quilting for me, and you've interviewed one of them, Ginny Guthrie,
uh-huh.
in Ohio, and Mike Powell. I don't know if he's back quilting again or not. And one of my friends, Sharon Wolbolt, does amazing long arm quilting. And she doesn't do it. She just does it for herself and
yeah.
friends, thank God. But here in Mississippi, I found a woman named Teresa Pino, who is really amazing. She's won lots of awards and things. But most everyone now is doing I shouldn't say just, because there's an art to it still, in using a computer. Guided
mm-hmm. yeah.
machine, which is even more expensive than the ones that aren't computer guided. I mean, there's still an art to it. You still have to know what's going to look good. You have to size it correctly. You have to make it so that the pattern doesn't end halfway through on the edge and, you know, some of those kinds of things. But it's taken some getting used to. It does tend to, I think, emphasize your piecing and your design. And I think that's what a good quilter does is, you know, emphasize what the quilt is saying. I know I made one for a friend in Marietta, and Teresa found a pattern that was just absolutely perfect on it. It wasn't a whole lot of quilting, but really emphasized the double wedding ring design on it. So I like the design, and I would love to do landscape or portrait quilts or something like that. I'm working towards that. But
yeah, those amaze me.
I know. They are just incredible. I was reading about the Time magazine has done 100 women of the year, and they commissioned portraits of 50 of them. One of the portraits was done by a fabric artist. And it's just amazing. And I'm sure it only popped up on my Facebook because of all the other quilting stuff that's on my Facebook page. But it might not even be in the magazine. I don't know. But it was a really amazing. And at the museum in Paducah, they have some incredible portrait quilts. I mean, they look like they're paintings, you know?
Yeah.
But I still like laying out color and figuring out what it's going to be, you know, what I want the quilt to say.
Yeah.
I like to print photos on fabric and include that in my quilts sometimes. I made one with photos of Marietta College for a student. I think she liked it, and then made another one similar to it that I turned into the Eve auction.
Yeah.
And it ended up raising quite a bit of money. So
cool.
That was pretty cool. And I made a photo quilt for my grandson, my son's son, Sean. And he was totally into superheroes. So I call it the superhero quilt. It was photos of him in all his different costumes because he was always dressing up as Power Ranger or, you know, whatever. And I also included pictures of his mom and dad in their uniforms because I think they're pretty much superheroes too.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I don't know whether he liked it so much, but I think his mom did. And I also made her some quilts. She works with, well, on the ship she was on before. She always works with the community outreach groups that on the ships or whatever her duty station is. And they did some fundraisers. And I made three quilts that had photos of her ship, the USS O'Kane. She's not on that ship anymore.
But yeah.
She was very pleased with them, and I know the people who got them were excited about them, too. But it was one of those things where I gave them to her and then wasn't part of the giving out process. So
yeah.
I hardly have any quilts here in my house that I've made because I give them.
Right. That leads to, why do you make quilts and who do you make them for?
Oh, I make them for all kinds of people. I've made lots of charity quilts. You know, the group in Marietta, we gave them to the Sheriff's Department, the Highway Patrol, the Salvation Army. Here in the Memphis area, we give quilts to the Children's Hospital, and one of the groups does them for a hospice hospital, and everyone in my family has one. I started on my nieces and nephews now. My nephew had a Harry Potter themed wedding, so I made Harry Potter blocks and took them to the wedding and had the guests sign them and then put them together into a bookcase quilt I know they loved. They were very excited. And then I was a glutton for punishment and made another Harry Potter quilt for my granddaughter. So, but, you know, a lot of them are to commemorate things like weddings, and I've given them as thank yous when people do something really nice for us, you know, and that's my go-to. It's also sort of a justification for doing all of this.
Yeah. So what was your worst quilting experience?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that, and I really don't have one. I mean, there is almost always a point with every quilt that I don't like it anymore. Just, you know, you work on it too long. Or something's not turning out the way you wanted it to. But if something goes wrong, you got to look at it as a design opportunity.
Yeah.
And, you know, you change your mind. I have a round robin quilt that I did a setting for it, and I didn't end up having enough fabric to make it wide enough to go on my bed. So there's this really tall, skinny quilt laying on my bed, and I've tried to figure out what I'm going to do about it, but I mean, it's completely done, so that's not going to change. I keep thinking I'll make another, maybe a whole cloth quilt or something in a matching color to go underneath it. You know?
Yeah.
But nothing really bad has happened. It just, you just make it work. And if you're tired of something and you don't like it anymore, you set it aside.
Yeah.
I have been known to give it away. And then somebody else finishes it. It turns out beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
But so when I moved, I had my quilting stash everywhere in that house in Marietta. I mean, I had stuff in the attic and all the closets, and because my kids had moved out several years before.
Had you changed houses while you lived in Marietta, or is that the house you moved into when you first came?
Well, not when we first came, but I'd lived in that house for like 22 years, I think.
Okay.
Of the 37. So, yeah, I'd lived there a long time. And after the kids moved out, I had two extra bedrooms, so things just sort of, you know, developed, and you just, you didn't get rid of anything, you just shoved it in a corner somewhere,
right?
You know? So when I moved, I gathered together all of my stash, all of my fabric, everything. And I invited my close friends over, and we had dinner, and then we sat, and I passed things around. I told them to pick out things, and everybody was really hesitant about doing that. So I just picked up a pile of fabric and I pass it on, or a bag with a project in it and pass it around. And, you know, they didn't take everything, but they took a majority of it. And my one friend who took a lot of the UFOs has been sending me pictures of, you know, the finished projects. And then I gave the rest of it to a couple people who were in groups that make charity quilts.
Yeah.
Especially the, like, I had this huge collection of scraps that I used Bonnie Hunter's stash, scrap stash method.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Where you cut 2.5-inch strips or 5-inch squares or 2.5-inch squares. You know, you cut up all of your leftover fabric into, like, pre-cuts, I guess.
Yeah.
And I had all of that organized and everything, because remember me, the librarian, I organized everything. I got rid of all of that. And, you know, a lot of my fabric, because I, before my friends came, I went through everything. And the stuff I still really loved or knew why I bought it, I kept. And,
yeah.
You know, I got rid of a lot of fabric. And it felt really good after I got here, because I felt like I didn't feel obligated to use all of that. You know, I felt like it had gone to good homes, and I didn't have to worry about it anymore. Not that I was worrying, but...
Right.
And I came with 37 UFOs, unfinished fabric objects.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have at least 37. But I thought that I would create my fabric stash from there. You know, I would finish a project and I'd have leftovers.
Right.
Well, after I got here, a lot of the women I saw doing show and tell in the guild used their leftover fabric to piece a back. I mean, it wouldn't be another quilt or anything, but they'd take chunks of fabric and sew them together and make a back for the quilt. So I started doing that. And now I don't have as much of a stash as I used to. And I'm being forced to go out and buy fabric. I mean, you know, that's horrible. I had something that I saw on Facebook not too long ago. I wanted to share a little bit of it. It's from a woman's blog. The blog is called DJ's House of Denim, and her name is Donna Jo.
Uh-huh.
And that's all I could find out about her, because, of course, I wanted to give her credit, but that's all I could find out on the blog. But this particular blog entry is called, Why the Blank Did Somebody Make Me a Quilt? And she talks about receiving a quilt in the mail. You have no idea of why someone sent you this, and
mm-hmm.
not really what you would like. And it attracted my attention and made me laugh, because I just did that to two of my nieces. I made alphabet quilts for their little boys and mailed them and didn't even tell them I was mailing them. I guess I should have considered myself lucky that they hadn't moved. But anyway, the one part of it that I really liked was where she says, it isn't meant to create any sort of obligation for you, but more an expression of gratitude. A quilt made especially for you may just be the quilter's way of thanking you for your presence in her life. And I think that that's very true.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want anybody to say, oh, this is wonderful, I love it, or, you know, although that's sort of fun too. But
yeah,
I just want to say, you know, hey, I'm thinking about you.
That's a real neat quote. I really like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
Do you have a tip that you would like to share?
I would say anybody who is interested in creating something should think about making quilts, because they don't have to actually be something you put on your bed. They can just be snuggle quilts or to make placemats. You know, I think, or you just create something, you know, create cards or art or, you know, whatever. You know, you need to I guess I just would like to encourage people to be creative and also find other people that you can share that with and, you know, be a part of a guild or a group, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I guess, what's sort of exciting about quilting is that we do have quilt guilds, something that's like very, very traditional. But I think there's lots of other groups that, you know, get together and paint or sew or embroider or, you know, whatever. And, you know, I just like to encourage people to do that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing this interview. I really appreciate it. I was, like I said, so excited to connect with you again. And then you moved.
Yes. I think I surprised everyone when I did that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for asking me.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of A Quilter's Life. You can find more stories on aquilterslife.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts so each episode will be downloaded automatically. Thanks for listening.